Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. We're going to try something different this particular episode because we are actually recording inside the Books and Brews on the south side of Indianapolis. And so you may get some background noise in this particular episode if it works. And if you're listening to this, it worked. But this particular episode is going to be a series of flash interviews with authors that are part of a multi-author book fair and book signing event held at the Books and Brews Indy South on Shelby Street on June 19th, 2021. First up with me today is a familiar face and a familiar voice because she was one of my earliest interviews on the Cutter's Notch podcast. Welcome back to the Cutter's Notch podcast, Lizzie Lee. Hello, Lizzie.
Hey, thank you.
Welcome to the podcast again. How have you been?
It's been an interesting year, but it's nice to be back. I can't believe it's been since 2019 since we saw each other last.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was not that long ago, but the whole year last year was just like, I don't even know, the time stopped.
It's been nuts.
Yeah.
I could not wait for this event. I did one book event last year when my Nozomi's Battle was released in November, and I did a book event here actually in November, but it was a beautiful day. It was like 60 degrees and sunny, and so I did it outside, and so no issues with pandemic or viruses or any of that kind of stuff, so.
Congratulations on that book. I'm excited to read it.
So. Oh, well, thank you. So, Lizzie, tell us introduce yourself, introduce your books real quick, and tell us where people can find them.
So I'm writing romance books. So I also write short stories, but what I have today is romance books. It's called the Colorado series, and there's three books right now. So the first one's The Blessing, then it's Jagged Hearts, and then it's Tethered Souls, and it just follows a family throughout those books, and they live in Colorado. I've actually never been there, so one person read the book who had lived in that town that I picked, and she said it was nice. I try to be vague with the descriptions because I'm writing stuff in Indiana, but I want to do something exotic, so I chose Colorado.
I've never really thought of Colorado as exotic.
It's not exotic.
But I do love Colorado. I have been there. You should visit. If you've not been there, you should visit.
I have pictures of my book in Colorado, like people have taken and sent to me, but I've never been there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So where can people find your books if they're into romance? We should probably let everybody know that this is not like sweetie romance. This is a little steamier stuff, right?
Yeah, it's like steamier. There's a lot of language. It's like modern romance stuff. So if you like that, check it out. If not, don't check it out.
If you got a sensitive demeanor, maybe not pick it up.
Yeah, right? Don't pick it up, maybe. It's like there's a lot of other great books out there. I mean, you can, but it's good. Just like fun read by the pool for like summer probably. You can find them on Amazon. You can get the ebook or the like hardback. Well, softback right now. I think with my new ones I'm gonna do hardback. But yeah, so this series is over, I think. And then after this I'm gonna do just like single book romances.
Oh, so no more series, just one offs after this?
I think so.
Okay.
For a while.
All right, so you go to Amazon and you can look up Lizzie Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And the titles of the books are again?
The Blessing's the first one, and then the second one's Jagged Hearts, and the third one's Tethered Souls. And you can read two and three by themselves probably. It's like the girl version of the first one. It's like all in her perspective and her story. And then the first one's like super long, but it's like the male perspective, which I wrote it when I was like 20 years old, so yeah.
Well, cool. Now, we're doing this in a flash fashion, so we don't have a lot of time to keep exploring. But one of the things I would do with each of the authors is let them pull a random question out of my random question box. So right here in front of me, and I'm not using, my daughter Angela bought me this book or this box of actual official questions, and it's got like a million and 1,000, 100,000 trillion questions in it.
Yeah.
I'm not using that. I'm using my random question box, which has the questions I made up. So whatever you pull out, that's what you get to answer. Good luck. Let's see what you get.
Tell us about a childhood crush.
Come up a little close. How fitting is that? Fitting is that? She's doing a steamy romance. Yeah. Tell us about a childhood crush.
I think my first crush ever, it's like a lot of people's first crush, like Carrie Fisher from Star Wars. So Princess Leia.
Okay.
That totally, I was just super into her for like the first half of my life. So she was super cool. Was super cool, yeah.
All right.
Carrie Fisher, for sure.
Well, cool. Thanks, Lizzie.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Now it's on to the next victim or guest or whatever we want to call it. So I believe it would be over here behind me. So
yeah.
Thanks a bunch. And we'll get Krista up, I think. So who do we have with us now? We got another author here. So introduce yourself and tell me about your book.
My name is Krista Allen.
Krista Allen.
Yes.
And tell us about your book, Krista.
The book is a self-memoir. It is about some activities that have taken place in my life, probably starting at an early age into the current time.
Okay. So is this, I don't want to dig into it in too much detail. Maybe at some point in time we'll have you back on the actual normal podcast and you can go into more detail, but was this kind of an intense period in your life, or was this, I mean, can you give us any hint about what the subject matter is?
It was intense. It was, the subject matter is transitioning from one gender to another.
Okay.
And all the activities that come along with it, as well as all the, I guess I would use the word persecutions, things like that that come along with it.
Okay.
That just makes you a stronger person to become who you are today.
All right. Yeah, I could see where that would be an intense period. Now, I think you told me earlier you've got another book coming out soon, right?
I do. I have one I'm working on now that's, I'm looking somewhere in the mid to late fall.
Okay. All right. Now, Krista, you also told me that you have your own trucking company.
I do.
You want to tell us about that really quick?
I have a transportation company. All my units are 18-wheelers. I have multiple drivers that work for me. I also was a driver one time. I still dibble and dabble here and there and try to do it if I can fit it in my schedule, but it's not something I actually put a lot of time into as far as driving myself. I focus more on the book.
Okay, very good.
And the new material that's coming out.
Oh, so that's right. There is another book coming out.
Yes.
Do you have a title for it yet?
I do. It's called The Battle of My Mind.
Okay. Yeah. Something we all have.
That's
battle
true.
For our mind.
That's true.
Now, what your current book and your future book are? Though, how do people find them?
Amazon's a good source. Look under C.D. Allen as the author. The title of the book that's currently out is called Through My Tears. It's the first book out.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Well, thank you. What we're doing now is this is a flash thing, so it's really fast. So I need you to pull a question from this random question box, and who knows what kind of question you're going to get. It could be anything.
Cats or dogs and why?
Yeah, cats or dogs and why. Now, you got to come up on the microphone again so we hear you.
Let's see, cats or dogs and why? Probably dogs.
Yeah, so you're not a cat person.
They're nice to look at from a distance. I don't necessarily have to have one around, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the why thing in there? Is there a reason why you...
Wow. Why? Oh, I know. Cats seem to... they like to shed a lot. They shed. They make a lot of noise. I know dogs do too, but, you know, I think dogs understand human much better than the cat does.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, our dog is 13 and a half now. He's a miniature Australian Shepherd, and he can't hear very well, and he can't see very well. He can still jump up on our bed. And last night, of course, we had storms through here, and he finally started hearing them, and he got up in between my wife and I. And when we got up this morning, his rear end was stuck into the headboard of the bed, and he was hanging out of the headboard in between us. So dogs are crazy. I'm more of a dog person than a cat person, but I love cats. My wife thinks the best cat is not breathing. That's how she feels about cats. So, hey, Krista.
Cats serve a purpose, though.
Krista, thanks for joining us on the Cutter's Notch podcast. And we'll go on to the next victim.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. So who do we have with us?
Nikki Ray.
Well, hi, Nikki. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for being part of this book fair.
Yeah, it's been fun.
So tell us about your books, Nikki.
So I primarily write romantic suspense. I do have a thriller. I've been writing since 2014. Okay, I published in 2014. I've been a reader and a writer most of my life. So I've been doing it for a few years, not a whole long time. But
how many books do you have?
So I have 5 full-length books, and then I have a couple of short stories that I don't have, like, in paperback or anything.
Okay.
Just like e-books.
Now, we had Lizzie Lee over here a few minutes ago, and her romance books are steamy. Are yours steamy or yours?
I would say on a 1 to 5 level, they're probably about a 2.5. So they're not as steamy as some books can be.
Okay. Probably safe for my sensitive demeanor.
Yeah, I would. Yes.
Although now, I'm a guy, so I probably won't read them.
Now, I do have a darker romance that's super intense. It's super intense to read, and it was to write as well. So that's a little bit different than all my other books.
Okay. Now, are you from the Indianapolis area, or where are you from?
I live in Greenfield, which is just outside of Indianapolis. It's about, 30 miles east or so, maybe a little bit less.
Okay.
But I actually was born in Dayton, Ohio. I lived there until I was about 9. Then my mom and my brother and sister and I moved here. My dad's family still lives there.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
And where can we find your books?
So currently...
And give us the titles.
Okay. So my first book is called Lather.
Lather?
Lather. It is different.
Well, that sounds steamy.
Yeah, it's not. That one actually is a new adult romance. So they're kind of college kids. So it's not really. That one does have a short story follow-up. It's called The Date. And then my second and third books is Damaged, Perfection, and Resisting Perfection. Those are a series. And then I have Broken Minds. That is the darker romance. And then my newest book is called Angel Face, and it's actually a thriller. It just was released last year in August.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where do we find all these books at?
So right now, you can get the paperbacks on Amazon, and they're also on Kindle Unlimited, so they're exclusive to Amazon right now for a 3-month period. But generally, you can get them in most all distributors.
Okay.
Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Apple, those types of things.
Yeah. But you get paid more if they just get them from Kindle and Amazon, right?
Well, right. Yeah, right now, that's all you can get them.
Unfortunately, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
And the cool thing for folks out there who maybe you're unfamiliar, Kindle Unlimited, I mean, you pay a fee for it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the unlimited thing is you can read unlimited books. And authors like myself and Nikki here are paid by the pages read or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you really like to read, that's not a bad way to go about
it. Right. I think you can get, 10 books at a time or something, and then once you are beyond that, you have to give one back or whatever. But, yeah, if you read a lot, I do think it's a good program to enroll in.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. So the last thing I'm going to have you do is pull a question out of this random question box.
Okay.
So good luck. Let's see what it says.
If I don't like the question, can I pick another one?
Well, I don't know. We'll play. we'll just take that by ear.
Okay.
We'll play it by ear.
What is the craziest thing you have ever done?
Oh, well, that's the craziest thing you've ever done, Nikki.
I am not really a crazy person.
Which means you probably don't want to tell us what the craziest thing is you've ever done.
You know, to be honest with you, actually publishing a book is the craziest thing that I've ever done. That doesn't sound super crazy, but just publishing and like putting my work out there for others to read and scrutinize is actually very crazy to me.
Yeah.
So that would be, probably the craziest thing that I've done.
Yeah. You know, if you're super sensitive, and I sometimes am every once in a while, if you're super sensitive, putting a book out there for the public to read and comment on can be a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I can be sensitive. I do understand that, you know, reviews are super necessary. So I do read them. I've grown thick skin, I think. So it's not too bad, really, but it can be, I guess.
Well, very good. Nikki, thanks for being on the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Yes, thank you.
It's time for us to find our next victim.
Okay.
if you could help me make sure that the people on the other side of you know to come on over, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. What's it called? Cutter's Notch?
Cutter's Notch podcast.
Okay.
If you pick up one of my cards, it'll be on there. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. Tell us who you are.
My name is Eric Grayson.
Eric Grayson, and Eric is one of the authors here at the Books and Brews multi-author book signing and book reading. And thanks for being at the event. Thanks for being on the podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about your books.
Well, I am an engineer, and I do a lot of different work because I'm kind of a professional outsider. And so I do a lot of consulting, and I do film restoration, and I'm also an author. So I wrote a book. And it's called A Fearful Thing to Love, and it's about a vampire. And it's a kind of a science fiction-y sort of vampire story. It works against your expectations. I always want to do that because I hate the regular stuff where you say, okay, well, I know how this is going to end on the fourth page. And I guarantee you don't know how this book is going to end on the fourth page.
Well, I love a good vampire story. Is it in the modern day or is it set historically?
It's set historically, in the modern day, and in the future.
Oh, so we're doing some time travel, not travel, but
yes.
We're crossing time zones and
yes,
time
that's
periods.
Right. Yeah.
And
it starts in the 1600s and it ends in about 2091.
Oh, man. Now, geographically setting, is it?
We start off in France. We have a bit in England, and then it comes to the United States in Chicago and ends in San Francisco.
Okay. So you say you're an engineer. What what kind of an engineer? I know there are different genres of engineers. So.
I studied electrical engineering, and I specialized in signal analysis. So I do a lot of Fourier transforms and math and geek stuff, and I use that for film restoration work.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And I noticed you've got a couple of films over there on your table. Mm-hmm. What are the films you have on your table?
I have Little Orphan Annie from 1918, which is a film that was partially shot in Indianapolis, but mostly shot in California. And it is an adaptation of James Whitcomb Riley's poem. And he appears in the film. In footage that's shot in his house in Indianapolis.
Is that the one up in Lockerbie, or is that...
It's the one in Lockerbie, yes.
Oh, very good. Hey, and folks, if you have not been to the James Whitcomb Riley home in Lockerbie, you should go tour it. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, it is amazing. And the footage that's in the film is shot right outside the house in Lockerbie. So, and it looks almost exactly the same now. You can identify it easily.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing is that the house directly across the street from that one, my wife's grandmother ran a boarding house there.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. So, and now it's been all restored and modernized, and
it's a beautiful
it costs like $1.5 million or something. But it's,
oh yeah.
But my wife actually got to tour it a couple of years ago.
Wow.
In its current setting, but she was there as a kid. And her grandmother ran a boarding house.
Well, that's where the camera was sitting when they were shooting this footage, because there's a bunch of footage that's shot from across the street of a bunch of kids coming up to Riley.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the other film I have is the Milan High School basketball games, and everybody who's in Indiana knows Milan High School. The high school actually came to me and they said, we have these stinky films that are sitting in a locker in the gym. Can you fix them? And it turns out it was the semifinal and the final game from 1954.
Oh, my goodness, from 1954.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So, and that's the game that that they ended up winning the state.
That they won the state championship. Yeah. Bobby Plump won it with a throw up at the bell, and they were up by 1 point.
Wow. And they were playing not South Bend Central as in Hoosiers, but actually Muncie.
They were playing Muncie
High School.
Right.
Yeah.
And the game before, they were playing Terre Haute. The Terre Haute game was not known to survive in any forum until we found it. And Bobby Plump will tell you that was a better game than the final game, and it really is, because the Terre Haute kids just hated Bobby Plump, and they're knocking the tar out of him.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's fun.
Wow. All right, Eric, thank you very much for being on the podcast. The last thing that we got to do is we got to have you pull a random question from this box.
Okay.
Whatever that question is, you get to answer it. So good luck on that. And let's see what your question is.
If money were no object, what would the next thing you would buy? Ooh, a car. Because I need one badly.
Any particular car if money was no object?
Yeah, it has to be. I need a Toyota Camry with a good trunk.
There you go.
Yeah.
Room for books and videos and
film equipment.
And film equipment.
All those things.
Very good. Thanks very much, Eric.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
Whoops. I usually like to leave one ear off. It's just a habit.
Well, that's all right. You've got experience in radio, so you know what you're doing.
I do.
Well, then you know I need you to come up on the
microphone. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Especially since we've got a lot of background noise.
We sure do, yeah.
Yes. So, hey, I'm going to let you introduce yourself because, unfortunately, I'm a goofball and I forgot your name.
My name is Glory June Greif, G-R-E-I-F-F, Greif, very German.
Very good. Glory June.
Glory June, yeah.
So, Glory June, you came to help Eric out with his book, but you brought some of your own. So
I did.
Tell us about your books and a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a historian. Maybe there's a few people who have to remember when I was in radio, and that was my name on radio as well, Glory June. I'm a historian, and I focus on local history, environmental history, things like that. I wrote a couple of large-scale books, one on the history of and kind of an exploration of outdoor sculpture in Indiana called Remembrance, Faith, and Fancy.
Wow.
Because, well, see, remembrance. Sculptures are very often put up to commemorate something. There's a lot of religious sculptures. That's the faith. And the fancy is the cool stuff, like the lions and the Joe Palooka in Bedford and things like that.
Right.
Excuse me, Olytic, not Bedford. Got to get that right.
Olytic?
Olytic.
Olytic?
Yeah. Olytic, like the...
I never knew how to pronounce that.
Yeah, Olytic. I know it looks like Olytic, but it's Olytic. At least ask the natives. They will tell you that. And then I wrote a history of state parks, which is people, parks, and perceptions. And that's somewhat from an environmentalist point of view. I talk about how our state park system got started, talk about the conservation movement that occurred before that. And then the rest of the book is an individual history of each park, each of our 24 state parks.
All right. So where do people, are those books available for people to purchase? Or are they on a, can people find them somewhere? Or are they just got to track you down wherever you're at?
They can track me down on Facebook. I am on Facebook, Glory June Greif. And also I am Historian at Large on Facebook. I have a Facebook page in that name. And either of those pages, you can private message me there and we can talk about the book. I'm trying to remember if I have any out there right now. I don't think I do at the moment.
Okay, very good. Now, you mentioned that you were in radio.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that.
It's never left me. Just radio is so changed now. So when I got fired from my last gig, no, actually, I left my last gig voluntarily, I think. Radio's like that. You know, get fired in a split second.
You either leave or you get fired.
And, yeah, I mean, well, you know, new management comes in and they want all new guys. I worked at Q95 here, and I did enjoy it. It was a fun gig. I enjoyed being one of a crew because we all came at the same time because Q95 used to be canned music,
yeah.
And then they went live, and we all came from different places, and formed a bond.
Was that like in the 70s sometime?
It was 1978.
That ages me. See, I was in high school in 1978 and Q95. I was from Muncie.
Mm-hmm.
So Q95 was extremely popular at the end of the 70s and very popular with the other kids.
Q95,
around me.
Pass it on.
Yeah, there you go. And course, everybody knows Bob and Tom and on, right?
Well, that was a slot I was in, was the morning drive.
Oh, were you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
My car had only an AM radio, so I didn't get Q95. And my stereo system in my bedroom had a hard time picking it up.
Oh, no. So
I ended up listening to WNAP, the NAP. Buzzard.
Oh, yes, the Buzzard. we had this strong rivalry. Although I remember, I guess it was Adam Smasher and Roger Holloway, who was at, the other station. Can't think of the calls right now. But we three morning people got together after our shifts one time just to get together and have lunch and say, well, you know, we don't have to play that game. We can be friends. So
yeah.
it was fun.
Very good. Very good. So one of the last things I'm doing in this little flash interview period is I'm having people pull random questions out of this box. I don't know what you're going to get, but you know, whatever you get, you got to answer it.
I got to answer it. All right. Let me see.
Good luck with this.
What is your favorite all-time movie? Oh, that's a terrible question because there's so many movies I love.
Well, that makes it hard.
Yeah, I'm a real movie buff. That's why I hang out with that film historian. Yeah. That's actually how we met. I was in an acting class one time, and he had come. The director of the acting class was I had made a film,
yeah,
and Eric had sold it, so I met him at that time. My all-time favorite movie. I love 1930s movies, and I go way back. I like Jean Harlow. This is before I was born. Yeah. Trust me, way before I was born. But my mother loved Jean Harlow as a child. And so these movies used to be on in the afternoon on TV, or late at night, as the case may be. You just don't see these. Used to be all over.
No, and even like Turner Classic Movies, who used to play a lot of the old classics, the classics they're playing now are from when we were like young.
Exactly,
Which kind of frankly sucks. But
I know. I like the older ones. I like 30s, 40s. The standard favorites are like Casablanca. I like Casablanca, all right, but there are other Humphrey Bogart movies that are great. I like To Have and Have Not better, probably, because that's got some really great scenes in it. Like I say, I like Gene Harlow. But any Gene Harlow movie I like. Katharine Hepburn and Betty Davis, a lot of those. Trying to think of some new. Of course, I like Hoosiers.
Yeah,
I like the music. I like Jerry Goldsmith, the composer. He died a few years ago, but his music always makes a movie come together.
Yeah. Well, Glory June, got to do it right. Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for being part of the podcast today.
Sure.
And thank you for coming and being part of the book signing event today.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you step away, and then we'll track down the next. The next author is actually in this other room. If you could let, I think Karina is her name. If you could let her know to come on out. So welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. And who do we have with us?
My name is Karina Schroeder, and I'm a children's book author. I write about my son who's on the autism spectrum.
See, we've had such a smattering of different kind of genres at this event. It's crazy. But tell us a little bit about how this book came about and what drove you to write it.
Yeah, this is actually a labor of love. I didn't write this with the intention to become an author. My son was diagnosed at the age of 3, and at that time he started in a developmental preschool for children with special needs. And so his teachers and his therapists were with us for 2.5 of the hardest years of his young life. And I wanted to leave them with a gift that they would always remember him by. And I don't know a single elementary teacher that doesn't love books. So I also wanted it to have another purpose, because my son was getting ready to go into mainstream kindergarten. And I had seen lots of news articles and read articles about kids who had no friends to show up at their birthday parties. And so the community had to rally around them, or children who were getting abused because adults didn't know how to handle their outbursts. And that fear set into me that I had to make a difference so that my child didn't end up being one of those statistics as well. So I wrote this book so that I could give it as a gift to his teachers and therapists, and then Miles could take it with him to school. He read it to his kindergarten class, and a couple weeks later I had a tap on my shoulder on a school field trip, and it was a mother that said, "Did you write a book for Miles?" And I said, "Yes, I did. How did you know?" She said, "My daughter came home from school so excited. And she said, Mommy, Miles' mom wrote a book for him. And now I know why I like him so much. It's because God made him different, and that makes him so cool." And she said, I think you should publish it. So I decided to try, and now I am a children's book author.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What's been the reaction that you have gotten on the book from other people when they've read it?
It's been tremendously positive. I tell people that so much of people out there know the hard parts of this particular diagnosis. They're aware of the difficulty with communication, the behavioral and social issues, the fact that some of these children and adults never are able to communicate effectively. They see all the difficult, but they don't always see the beauty that comes with this too. And the way that neurodivergent people see and experience the world is completely different than those of us who are neurotypical do. And so I wanted something that was just going to show the beauty that comes with being different as well.
Okay.
And I think that that's been a really receptive topic for a lot of people.
Now, you just threw out a term there that I've never heard of, neurodivergent.
Neurodivergent.
Can you define that a little bit?
Yes. Neurodivergence is a lot of different things. It's autism. It's ADHD. It is a lot of obsessive compulsive behaviors. There are even different sensory processing disorders that fall on that spectrum. But basically what it means is that their nervous system functions in a way that diverges from what is typical. Some people have really cool diagnoses where they can actually taste words.
Really?
They'll hear a word and they get a different taste in their mouth for each word. There's a woman on TikTok who, when she hears words, she sees color in front of her eyes. And so she paints the words that she hears. So it is a different way to see and experience the world. But it's a really, really cool thing. And so I'm trying to raise some awareness so that people know these things are out there.
Wow. Now, what's the name of your book again?
The first book is called Singing in Color. It has a follow-up called Loving and Laughter, which is my neurotypical, my oldest children's view of their brother. I asked them what they wanted the world to know about their little brother. And so this is their brother through their eyes. So I tried to give all of my kids a voice in my books.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah, my third one is going to be released within the next couple weeks, and it's called Covered in Kindness. And it's kind of a thank you to the teachers and the friends that we have met along the way, and to show children that small acts of kindness can make a really big difference in somebody's life.
Wow, that's so cool. So where do people find these books?
My books are all available on Amazon.com and on my publisher's website, which is PennantPublications.com.
Okay, very good. And if they go on Amazon or on Pennant, give us your name again.
My name is Karina Schroeder.
Karina Schroeder. And you're from the Indianapolis area, right?
Originally, I'm from Fort Wayne. I actually lived in Indianapolis for 7 years while I attended the University of Indianapolis. And now I live in Fort Wayne again.
Well, we're just across the road from your alma mater.
We are. It's been fun being back.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being part of the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll catch you again sometime, Karina.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay.
Hey, welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. Give us your name and tell us about your books.
My name is Steve Craig, and I've got 8 books on Amazon right now.
Steve, before you tell us about that, where are you from?
Right now, my wife and I live in Plainfield, Indiana.
Plainfield, Indiana. Uh-huh. I spend a lot of time in Plainfield. My day job has a warehouse in Plainfield. I think Plainfield's kind of like the capital of warehouses.
Yeah. So I noticed.
Yeah. So tell us about your books.
They're all kinds. I've got 2 that are primarily adult fiction. One is a bit of a soap opera. It's called Children with White Knuckles.
Uh-oh.
The central theme is domestic abuse. But it's not all gloom and doom, you know.
Okay.
It's mostly about broken trust. It's about people disappointed in other people, because they thought they knew them well, and then they come up doing something that is really disappointing.
Isn't that kind of the way people are? I mean, we tend to mess up and disappoint one another all the time.
So. Yeah, I say domestic abuse. I'll say it was child abuse.
Oh.
And that is an issue that has touched my family and my workplace twice. So I felt like I knew where I was coming from, but I sought advice from other people, including a detective from the Plainfield Police Department and a lady who runs a child advocacy center in Avon. But that's the first adult book that
What's the name published. Of that one?
That's called Children with White Knuckles.
Okay. And you've got a second adult focused book. What's it called?
The other one is called The Innocent and the Dead. It's a ghost story, and it was based on real events that I was witness to.
Wow.
Back around 1969,
1970. Wow.
I was a member of a study group back then that investigated the paranormal. We,
you're a Ghostbuster.
Well, we dabbled in reincarnation, prenatal regression, things like that. But there was a married couple in that group who swore they were living in a haunted house. It got so bad that the leader of the group came over to the house one night, and hypnotized the lady of the house and channeled the spirit of a murdered man through her.
Wow.
The conversation between the leader of the group and the murdered man was taken straight from real life.
Wow.
And it's in the book.
And the title of that book again is?
The Innocent and the Dead. Yes.
Okay. And then you've got three more books.
I've got three books for kids. They deal with a talking white dove named Fritz. In the first one, Albert's light beam, Fritz teaches the theory of relativity to Albert Einstein's little sister. The second one, The Dove and the Lone Eagle, he follows Charles Lindbergh across the Atlantic.
Wow.
The third one is called Black Rain and Paper Cranes, and it's brand new. And in that one, Fritz tries to stop deployment of the atom bomb.
Okay.
But he fails, and he can't save the whole world, so he tries to save a Japanese family living in Hiroshima.
Okay. And now you've got another book that you just put out.
At the same, almost the same time, I released Black Rain and Paper Cranes last fall. Now, this past winter, everybody was locked down. Everybody was locked up. Nobody could go anyplace. And life kind of got in the way.
Yeah.
And I decided, well, if life's going to get in the way, I'm going to write about life. And I wrote about the pandemic.
There you go. Well, and somebody had to.
Oh, yeah.
May as well have been you.
Yeah, my.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for being on the podcast and telling us about your books. And thanks for being part of the book signing today.
That's quite all right. I was glad to do it.
The last thing you get to do is pull a random question from this random question box. And whatever the question is, that's what it is. So good luck.
Who inspires you and why? Oh, there have been a lot of people who have inspired me. Probably, you know, I've led a pretty blessed life. And most of the credit goes to my precious little wife, Joyce.
Joyce is sitting over there behind your behind your screen of books.
Next January 8th, we will celebrate our golden wedding anniversary.
Well, I should know this, but how many years is golden?
50.
50. Okay. I got a little catching up to do. So Joyce inspires you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Very good.
Absolutely.
Well, Steve, thanks again for being part of it. And
thanks for having me.
I'll let you go, and then we'll bring over the next victim. So thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, so make sure you lean into that microphone.
Is that better?
Oh yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Steve had a loud voice, so I had to turn him down a little bit. Some of the others had really soft voices, and
yeah.
So I had to turn them up.
Yeah.
So we have another. Familiar voice
yes.
for the Cutter's Notch podcast. Yes. Savannah Goins has joined us. And I think since our last time together, you actually released another book.
Yes, that's right.
So, Savannah, tell us a little bit about your books, your work, and then let's see where that goes.
Awesome. So my book series is a young adult fantasy story, and it's about a teenage girl who, a little while ago, she stumbled upon a magical relic from another world. She didn't know what it was, but recently some weird things have been happening around her. And when the book starts, a dragon has just found the artifact in her possession, and he really needs it in order to restore his family's good name in the world he came from. But there's a lot of danger involved with trying to get it from her. Can he take it from her? What should he do? But in addition to that, as soon as he finds her, some other dragons find her too. So he's not the only one who's got his eye on her now.
So this is actually modern day America.
Yes, that's correct.
With dragons.
Yep.
And I think you've told me it's a portal fantasy.
That's right. Yes.
So if for those of you who don't know what a portal fantasy is, Savannah, why don't you tell them what a portal fantasy is?
Yeah. So a magic portal usually leads between worlds. So in this story, the book map that's actually in the book is of our world, of the U.S. and part of South America. And there's different places on that map that have portals that go to other worlds. And portals are kind of hard to explain. They can be all kinds of different things. They can look different. Sometimes it's actually a door. Sometimes it's like a whirling, you know, flat bit of light like you might see in a movie. But in my books,
it's a mirror.
Yes. I love that about your books. I love that mirrors are portals. That's very cool. Yeah.
But in yours, how would you define the portals in yours?
The portals are, they're difficult to describe. They're locations where you're able to get in, whereas most of the places around the world are they have a magic about them that just kind of turns people away without them realizing it. So it's just a place where that magic is not there, so you're actually able to go inside.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, give us the titles of your books.
Yes, the first book is The Gwythinian, which is the kind of dragon. And the second book is The Crevibanian, which is another kind of made-up creature. And the third one is The Cathawir. That will be coming out later this year. Okay. And they're all made-up fantasy names. And I have to say, as much as I love my titles, I don't recommend ever naming your books after your made-up fantasy words, because no one can spell them or pronounce them or Google them. So
yeah, how do people find them, you know? So
yeah.
So how would someone find your books?
Well, they'll be suggested to people on Amazon who buy similar books, or people will find me like today at a book signing, or sometimes friend of a friend will recommend my book to people, or people might find me on Instagram. There's lots of different places.
And if people want to buy them, where would they go find them?
The best place to buy it is probably on Amazon. And if you just go into Amazon and search my name, Savannah J. Goins, it'll be much easier than trying to search the book titles. Just search my name and that will bring them right up.
There you go. And I will tell you that I have read both of the books that are out. And if you like young adult female protagonist with dragons and crazy creatures from other realms, mm-hmm. It's a great series. So I recommend Savannah Goins' books. I can't pronounce them, but I recommend them.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate that.
Savannah, it's great to have you back on the podcast, and maybe we'll have you back with a more extended interview, and we'll talk a little bit more in detail. But
yes, that'd be great.
For right now, you just get to pick another question out of this random question
box.
You've done that before, I think.
I have. I don't remember what the question was, but I remember it was fun.
I've added some.
All right. What is your favorite restaurant? That's a good question.
Books and Brew today.
Yes, absolutely. Books and Brews is one of my favorite restaurants. There's also a restaurant in Castleton called Tian Fu that is the best sushi place ever. So that's probably my favorite right now.
Oh, see, now I don't do that sushi thing.
Oh,
you know,
it's so good, though.
It's like, to me, if stuff used to move on its own, it needs to be cooked. You know,
That's fair.
But that's just my own. In my day job, I work for a Japanese company. So
okay.
If I ever visit Japan, I may have to get over that aversion. But
they do have options that don't have uncooked things. Like you can get like avocado and cucumber and stuff.
Oh, that's like rabbit food, though.
That's true.
So what's the name of the restaurant again?
Tian Fu. I think it's T-I-A-N-F-U.
F-U. Kind of tough to spell that without laughing,
yes.
Isn't it? Okay.
Yes.
We won't elaborate on that.
Yeah.
Tian Fu.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Savannah, thanks for joining the podcast for us for our little flash interviews.
Yes, so, thank you so much for having me back.
Let's get Julie over here and we'll move on to the next one. Okay, Julie, come up on the microphone there.
All right.
So welcome to the podcast. I just said your name, but tell us your name. Tell us who you are. Tell us about where you're from, what your books are, stuff like that.
Sure. So my name is Julie K. Johnson. I'm an author of historical fiction. And I'm from the Indianapolis area originally, but I was also raised in the mountains of East Tennessee on top of Indianapolis. So a lot of that comes through in my work. My catchphrase is from Asia to Appalachia. So I try to incorporate some of my Asian heritage as well as the Appalachian into sort of one sort of universe.
All right. Very good. And the name of your title of your book?
Yeah. So my current book that I have out is titled The Moon-Eyed Ones.
The Moon-Eyed Ones.
Yes. Okay. And it is my debut novel as well. But I'm currently working on the sequel titled The Thundering Ones, which will release hopefully early next year in 2022.
Okay, very good. Now, I will tell the audience out there, I have read The Moon-Eyed Ones, and I would recommend it. It is a historical fiction based in Appalachia in the, 1830s. And it tell us a little bit about the storyline.
Sure. So the protagonist is a 15-year-old boy named Silas Vanover. He's a mixed-race teenager. He's a Melungeon, which is a term for some groups of mixed-race people in the area. And he's just trying to find his way in the world. He's never really left his home or his little village that he lives in. So he just wants to find out more, but he has to overcome some challenges that come with being a mixed race person in the 1830s in rural Appalachia. So he befriends a Cherokee girl about the same age as him named Amatahi Kingfisher. And they form this bond that they have to become more or less a team to try to overcome what challenges befall them for the times. And ultimately, the book will culminate in the period that we now know today as the Trail of Tears period.
Yeah, I really was, I enjoyed and was intrigued by that story. So when your sequel comes out, I'll have to pick that up.
Sure.
So
and
how did you decide to write this story?
A lot of it came off of family stories I grew up hearing from my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother was Melungeon as well as a Cherokee descendant. And just growing up hearing stories about, you know, sort of problems that our family members and herself had faced growing up in rural Appalachia as a sort of ambiguous individual of where am I from, where do I belong, that kind of thing. It resonated with me. And also being a mixed race individual myself, I just wanted to write about it.
Yeah. And for folks who, you know, are clearly of one race or another race, right? Mm-hmm. And when you're in this mix, and you don't really fit with any particular category, that brings its own struggles and its own problems. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what you're talking about there is what is described with Silas.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And leading up to the Trail of Tears, which was an intense part of the book, I must say.
Yeah.
So, very good. Now, where can people find The Moon-Eyed Ones if they wanted to buy it?
Yeah, so the easiest access is on Amazon.com. If you search The Moon-Eyed Ones, and Moon-Eyed is hyphenated for people who are listening, it's usually the first or second result that pops up in an Amazon search. Or you can search The Moon-Eyed Ones, Julie K. Johnson, and that should be the first result that pops up in Amazon.com. Another easy option is just go to juliekjohnsonauthor.com, which is my website, and you can order. It'll direct you to Amazon from there.
Okay, very good. Very good. Julie, it's so great to have you on here. Julie and I have been friends now for probably 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We met at a book signing event. Was it Irvington Final, or did we meet at Porter Books and Bread?
We may have met at Porter, or did you do the signing at the Quirky Feather when it was still around?
No, I didn't do that one.
So, I think we met at Porter Books and Bread for a signing there.
I know we shared a table at Irvington.
We did.
Vinyl and Books. But so we've known each other for around 3 years, mm-hmm. And it's I consider her a friend, and so I recommend that you pick up her book, The Moon-Eyed Ones. Julie, thanks for being on the podcast today.
And thank you so much, Mike, for organizing all this. This is great.
Oh, no problem. Glad to do it. It's fun. It's fun to get out of the house and finally do an outside event again, right?
Oh, definitely.
So, well, with that, I'll let you go, and I'll bring in, I need to get Charles over there. So if you could step over and let him know that I'm ready for him, okay. That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. You had a customer.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't apologize about selling books. That's what we're here for, right?
That's right. That's why we're here.
But sorry for making you wait. That's what I'm sorry for.
Oh, no worries. No worries. So just lean into the microphone.
Yep.
All right.
Is that good? Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't like the way I sound.
I think you sound just fine. Just fine. So you'll notice that if I turn away like this, you can't hear me very well. So you got to keep your mouth kind of over the microphone.
I'll do my best.
All right. So, Charles.
Yes, sir.
Charles Kelly.
Yes, sir.
I see your name sometimes as Chaz.
Yep.
Do you have a preference?
Doesn't matter. Charles is just what I go by. That's my formal name. And so a lot of times when I say Chaz, people, they think I say Chad or Jazz or all kinds of stuff. So I'm good with anything. Chaz is what my friends call me. And then Charles is what I put on my book covers.
Okay. So Charles Kelly, tell us about your books.
So I've got a series about an outlaw motorcycle club and an undercover federal agent. If you're familiar with the show Sons of Anarchy, kind of think of that if it had a sense of humor. And
Sons of Anarchy with a sense of humor.
Yeah, and a little less murder. A little less. So it's just craziness from there. It's told first person, so as the reader, you are the main character. And full of dry sarcasm, bad dad jokes, cheesy innuendos, all the good stuff. I tried to leave the bad stuff out.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I have that sensitive nature, so I'm cool with leaving the bad stuff out. Although I do like action adventure,
yep,
with a touch of humor. So I may have to check out some of your books.
Yeah.
So.
As far as outlaw motorcycle clubs go, I kept it pretty tame, and I was pretty intentional about that. Just my own personal background. I didn't want to get too graphic, too extreme with things. So it's a pretty good read for just about anybody.
Well, give us some titles.
So Crossroads is book one. Crossfire is book two. Crossover is book three. And book four is still in progress.
All right. So, and you have some other books too, right?
I do, yeah. I've done some anthologies. A friend and I started a little kind of project. We call it Circle City Publishing. And I've done a couple open calls for submissions and put some anthologies together. I've got one of them called Fun Size Anthology, and it's kind of a buffet where I've got nine different authors in there, and all the short stories tie into each author's kind of bigger series. So that way readers can kind of get an idea of what each author's subject matter is, their writing style, and if they like what they read, then the information's in there for them to be able to find those other books.
Right, very good.
Yeah.
And how did you get into writing?
I've always enjoyed reading. And at one point I found an author from Muncie that I got into, and I said, well, he's from Muncie and I'm living in Muncie at that time. So if he can write, maybe I can write. So I just tried it.
Well, let's just throw a curveball at you. I'm from Muncie.
You know what? I saw that after I got set up this morning. I was perusing Facebook at all the different authors and everything, and I saw that you're from Muncie.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up on the south side of Muncie, went to Muncie Southside High School, and I guess I lived there for the first, 20 some years of my life. So I've been in Indianapolis now for quite a while, but I still, I consider that my hometown.
Yep.
It's funny, you know, I've lived in the house I live in now for well over 20 years, but if I dream of going home, it's my mom and dad's house in Muncie.
Sure.
So that's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been out of my mom and dad's house for a while now, and I still call the little town in southern Indiana is home, and I'm going home.
What town is that?
It's called Grandview.
Where's it at in southern Indiana?
The middle of nowhere.
Nowhere, but what part of
it's so if you know where Holiday World is, it's the southern tip of that county.
Okay.
So I'm right on the Ohio River, about halfway between Evansville and Louisville.
Yeah, I know that area. I used to travel down there quite a bit. The interesting thing for you is that my little town and my stories, mm-hmm, is a little town called Cutter's Notch, which is fictional, right?
Right.
But it's in southwestern Indiana.
Ah.
Probably right there around that Hoosier National Forest area.
Sure.
So that's interesting. So how many total books do you have?
Six, seven.
Seven.
Yep.
And where can people buy them?
Www. Let me try that
again. W.
Yep, all of the W's, dot ckfiction.com.
Very good. ckfiction.com. Now, are they on Amazon or do they need to go to CK Fiction?
They are on Amazon, but the titles are not the easiest to find if you just type in. You'll have to type in, like, Crossroads Charles Kelly, and then it would pop up. But if you just type in Charles Kelly, you're going to get...
all kinds of stuff.
You're going to get a musician that was with Lady Antebellum, I think. Or if you type in Crossroads, you're going to get, you know, infinite other titles that aren't mine.
Yeah, it's funny. Names are interesting. If you type in Michael DeCamp into a Google search, I'll come up. I'll be by about the second or third one that comes up. The first one would be he's an actor stuntman in Hollywood.
Oh, nice.
There's actually a Michael DeCamp who's an actor stuntman. And it's definitely not me. I do any stunts, and I'm going to go to the hospital. And the other one is a chef in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. And then there's another famous Michael DeCamp who was a deep-sea diver, which is very interesting for me anyway.
Yeah.
But the last thing I'm going to ask you to do, and I forgot to do with Julie, so I'm going to have to bring Julie back over here and get her to do it. But you get to pull a random question out of this random question box. And whatever that question is, you get to answer it for us.
All right. Let's see what we got. Where was your very first date? Oh, man. This is bad.
Your very first date.
Because I don't remember.
Uh-oh. Was it bad because you can't remember, or was it just that bad of a date?
I think the date itself was probably fine. I'm going to say that it was a movie theater in Tell City, Indiana.
Okay.
I don't remember the movie. Man, that's about as good as that's going to get. That's bad.
Well, it was a movie. You've narrowed it down. So you're in the right. You got it down to the city and the event.
Yeah.
So it's a movie theater.
Yep.
Do you remember who it was? You don't have to tell us who it was. Just do you remember who it was?
I remember her face. I don't remember her name.
Okay.
So that's probably bad as well.
She was very memorable.
Sounding like a great person right now.
Well, you know, hey, it was a couple years ago.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely a couple. Do you want that back?
Take that back.
There you go.
And, hey, thanks for being on the Cutter's Notch podcast. And Charles, maybe we'll have you back again, and we'll have a little bit more time to just kind of sit down and explore everything in more detail.
Yeah.
You know, the Cutter's Notch podcast is focused on people who are doing creative things, a lot of authors. I've interviewed comedian. I've interviewed visual artists. And usually it's myself and my oldest daughter.
Nice.
So my youngest daughter came in. So in the sitting out here in the middle of Books and Brew is my daughter, Andrea. So for those of you listening to the Cutter's Notch podcast, she came to support me.
Nice.
So Charles, Chaz, thanks for being here.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you happen to, could you walk back over to Julie and say, hey, I forgot to do something with her. Can you come back?
Will do.
Thanks. Well, welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. Who we have with us?
We have Keith Feckman.
Well, the cool thing about Keith Feckman is he's one of the co-owners of Books and Brew on the south side of Indy. Keith, thanks for letting us invade your space today.
Yeah, it's been great. Good show. Lots of authors, local authors from Indiana, and I'm enjoying to see their stories and a variety of genres, too, as well.
Yeah, we're crossing all over the place. Everything from steamy romance to young adult fantasy, portal fantasies, and then my crazy stuff, and
right.
And some kids' books, and just some historical, like, history guys over here. It's just a very, very interesting cross. What am I looking for? Well, where's my? What, I've lost my words.
The crossroads of America.
There you go. You think I was an author or something?
Right.
I can't think of words, but. Yeah, the cool thing about Keith and I actually have known each other now for a couple of years because we were both part of a group called Indy 50, which is a group of guys who would get together quarterly, throw in a little bit of cash, and then pick somebody who needed it and give it away.
Yeah.
And so back then Keith was doing something else, but then he became one of the proprietors for this this awesome little place here on the south side of Indianapolis. So Keith, tell us a little bit about this particular restaurant and what you're doing here.
Sure, this is one of seven locations in Indy, and the name of it's called Books and Brews. This particular one is on the South Indy side, and they've got tons and tons of used books, that people come in and read. Families come in with their kids and play games. There's a little over 100 board games at this location, everything from Monopoly, or sometimes I say you risk it all. Puns intended, of course. And it's just fun to see. Our record so far is 11 and a half hours of game playing for one sitting. And, of course, they got up and got some drinks and food, which is something else that we offer. Lots of different wings and chicken tenders and unique sauces that come on a variety of different tacos and a whole bunch of different types of food. So, and then the best part, of course, is the craft beer. You've got 20 taps here at this location, and we've got everything from porters to lagers to everything that's mostly local breweries.
Yeah, I'm looking at the board right now. You got like Strawberry Magic, which is a cider, it looks like. Top Dog Watermelon. It's a sour.
Yeah.
Reunion Citrus IPA.
Yeah, that's from Field Brewing in Westfield, Indiana.
Yeah. And I can't do the Fleeting, what is that?
Fleeting Youth from Ashen Elm.
Ashen Elm. I've actually had that. That's really good.
Yeah.
Pineapple Hula.
Yeah.
Naptown Fit.
Yep. Based off the gym downtown Indy.
Okay.
It's a light cream ale type beer.
You got Irish Red Ale.
Yeah, there's a Beach Bank from Beach Bank Brewing over in Beach Grove off of their main street in Beach Grove.
Hipster Repellent.
Yeah, so that is...
An American IPA. As I understand it, IPAs actually attract hipsters. So how do you come up with a hipster repellent?
Yeah, that one's from Falls City out of Louisville, Kentucky, believe it or not. So maybe they're trying to repel the hipsters down there.
That could be.
I don't know.
And then Hopopotamus IPA.
Yeah, that's a local Metazoa brew here in Indianapolis.
We got a lot of craft brewers.
We do.
Right,
we
here
have
in Indy.
A lot more than people realize. Yeah.
The Gingerbread Milk Porter.
Yeah, that's from Triton Brewing. That's a national brand.
I'm looking around the corner a little bit here now. So we got Water Walkers, Cream and Punishment, Charlie and the, what's that?
Chocolate Milk Stout. It's one we make.
Charlie and the Chocolate Milk Stout. That's one of your own. Okay.
Yep.
And then Stout and Monte Cristo.
That's
Stout of Monte Cristo.
Stout of Monte Cristo. Yeah, so there's a lot of book-themed name
like
beers,
that. A lot of your food is all book-themed, too, right?
Oh, yeah, the golden cheese snitches.
You didn't pick the theme I picked that I suggested on that one new sandwich a while back, so I'm a little mad at you about that, but I'll get over it. and then the last one...
Was it a grilled cheese sandwich?
I can't... Probably. Shogun Sober?
Soba. Yeah, oh, okay. There'd be Shogun, no sober.
Shogun Soba. All right, hey, Keith. We need to probably start to wrap this up. So the last thing you get to do is pick a random question out of box.
Perfect.
So, by the way, Keith is also an author, so he runs this place, but he's got his own books, too. So maybe tell us about your books and then read that random question.
Yeah, so I have a children's book series that's based on dyslexia, which I had growing up, and it's about a little girl named Melina. If you look carefully, you can actually... make that a dyslexic word, and it spells out animals. So that's how we came up with the name, Melina, and she goes to the zoo, which is partly based on the Indianapolis Zoo, and then she goes to the farm, which is partly based on Indiana farms.
All right.
So yeah, it's a great little storybook for kids.
All right, let's hear your random question.
Oh, man.
First of all, where can you buy those books at?
You can buy them here at the store, locally, or on Amazon.
Okay.
Those are the two easiest places.
Very good. Let's hear that question now.
All right. Do you believe in UFOs/aliens? Why or why not? Being a Star Trek lover, Star Wars lover, it's kind of hard not to when you love those two sets of series. So I'm sure they're out there somewhere. Real proof?
The truth is out there.
Yeah, the truth is out there. Watched X-Files a lot.
Yeah.
Love the Indiana Jones movies where you just makes you think.
Yeah.
Are they?
I actually saw a UFO when I was a teenager.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I mean, I say it's a UFO because I couldn't identify it. It was flying. It was an object.
Right.
So, unidentified flying object.
Yeah.
But it was in the field behind my, kind of in between all of our neighborhood houses. And there was this bright light stationary in the sky, just sitting there.
And as we were watching it, all of a sudden, it wasn't moving before, but all of a sudden, it shot off to the south like, man, in a flash, and it was gone.
Wow. Did it make a little design in the cornfield?
No, it didn't. Besides, we didn't have any corn there. We just had grass. All right. Keith, thanks so much for being on the Cutter's Notch podcast. I think we may have you back on, maybe do a more broader interview at some point in time, but...
Yeah.
Thanks for being on here. Thanks for hosting the event today. Looks like we got some people coming in, so this is awesome. Yeah. And I'll let you get back to work.
Sounds great. Thanks so much. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. All right. I think I was supposed to do a random question for Julie Kennedy. And here she comes. She's running over here. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
I forgot to make you do a random question.
I know. I didn't pick a random question.
I was sitting here, and then the next person came over. I'm like, oh, I forgot. So anyway... thanks for coming back for the abuse.
Yeah,
so
no problem.
Let's pick a random question, and whatever it is, you get to answer it.
Let's see. What is your favorite music genre, artist, and song? Oh, that's a big one.
That's a big question.
Yeah.
Take your best shot at it.
Huh. I have to say my favorite music genre probably is very specific. It's electro swing.
Electro swing.
Yeah.
There's one I don't know.
So basically what it is it's music that is done in the style of swing music from the 1920s, 1930s, but then they remix it to modern beat.
Ah, okay. That's your favorite genre.
Yeah.
I would ask you what your favorite artist is, but I'm sure I have no idea what... I wouldn't know the name. Do you have an artist name that comes to mind?
Yeah, so for that genre specifically, his name is Parov Stelar.
Wow, that's interesting.
He's actually a DJ from Austria.
Wow. You know, when I have you back for a more broader interview, we're going to have to explore that. Because I have never even heard of that.
Sure, so, yeah. It's an acquired taste, I will say.
Very good. Well, thanks for coming back for the extra abuse.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. I'll let you get back to your table now. Thanks,
all right.
Julie.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, folks, that's it. We've had a flash discussion of interviews with a number of different authors here at the Books and Brew Multi-Author Book Fair readings. And thank you very much for being part of this podcast. Thanks for listening. And thank you, Bill White, here for the magic you do. For folks out there listening, if you could take the time to rate us, that would be awesome sauce. So until next time, this is the Cutter's Notch Podcast signing off for this episode. Take care.
The Cutter's Notch Podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2, a collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch Podcast.